If you have your Bible today, reach for it, please. Let me read from Daniel chapter 3. I only gave the media one verse, but I want to read a few verses here to get us into the context of this very familiar story. And if I may, let me just back up into verse 14 of that third chapter. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Listen to this question. "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And here's the verse I really want to focus on in a little while. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage," or his expression, "was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated." Father, I feel your presence here today in a most unusual way. I do not take this moment lightly. I do not take it for granted. Holy Spirit, I sense that you're up to something around this world today. And Father, I ask you to take what little contribution I may make this morning and work it for kingdom purposes, for the glory of God, and for the encouragement of the saints and the salvation of the lost. In Jesus' name, and amen. You know the story of Daniel chapter 3 very well. Nebuchadnezzar determined to go into Jerusalem and bring out of Jerusalem whom the Bible refers to as choice young men. The word choice refers to their caliber, their character, their quality, so that he could integrate them into a new culture, a new society of godlessness, paganism, and idolatry. Among those that he brought back were the three young men of our story today, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had plans for them. He had great intentions for them to serve in this godless culture that he was working to establish. But he knew that in order to integrate them into a new society and a new culture, he would first have to remove them from their old heritage and cancel out of them the things that they had been raised to know and believe and understand. So it wasn't enough that he changed their names. He wanted to change their faith, their belief structure, their belief system. And so he set out, first of all, to remove them from their personality and principles of faith. Remember, they weren't always known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Initially, they were known as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those names came with witness. Those names came with testimony. Those names literally meant, "Our Lord has helped us. Jehovah is great. Who is like unto our God?" But he wanted to cancel all of that out and remove that from their DNA of faith in order to integrate them into a new society where all of that didn't matter anymore. The second thing he wanted to remove from them and change about them was their posture. I'll come back to it momentarily, but you know the story. The image was put up. The decree went forth that at a certain time, everyone is to come, and when you hear the music, you will bow, you will bend, you will acquiesce, you will give in to the rule of the day. Change your posture. Go from standing to bowing down and giving in. The third thing he wanted to do was to remove them from their purpose. They were purposed to grow to be men of God. They had in their spiritual DNA the call of God, the touch of God upon their life to make a difference in their world. But Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change their purpose in order to make them fit into an idol-worshiping society. I want to tell you today what I'm sure you're already aware of. There is something in this world today very akin, very similar to a Nebuchadnezzar spirit that's running rampant in our day and in our age. Call it whatever you want to, but it's very akin to this same demeanor and this same spirit that I pick up in this story, because the Nebuchadnezzar spirit that runs rampant in this world today wants to change those same three things about every one of us. This demeanor, this spirit, this power wants to remove out of us, cancel out of us our principles and our personality of faith. Because this force can never achieve in this world what it wants to achieve as long as we remain true to the Word of God and the principles of the Word. The same spirit wants us to change our posture. Oh, I can hear it. If you would just change your posture on things, if you could just bend a little bit, if you could just acquiesce, can't you just compromise on the issues? Oh, if we can just get the church to compromise, the country might heal. The world might come together. If we can just get you to change your principles and change your posture. Do you have to preach it so strong? Do you have to be so adamant? Do you have to keep calling sin, sin? Can't you just back up and refer to it as something less toxic in your language and terminology? Why do you have to keep being so bold and boisterous about your posture and your position? I'll tell you why. Because it's the Word of God. Y'all better pray for me, because I don't know if I'm mad or anointed this morning. I'm just going to be very free here and tell you. I've been astounded at some things I've been called upon to address recently. I've been shocked at some things that I've been called upon to address, yes, in Pentecostal circles recently. Because there is such a spirit of compromise in this age. And there is so much intimidation coming against pastors and coming against the church in this day and time. And we find ourselves skating on thin ice and walking on eggshells if we get up in the pulpit and call it like it is. But I believe I'm in a church today, and I'm speaking to a global audience today that understands what this church stands for and what Pentecost should be about. I'm not changing my posture. I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to acquiesce. I still believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture. I still believe in one God eternally existing in three persons, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I still believe in the virgin-born Savior. I still believe that Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness by the affection of His power of His blood. I still believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. I still believe in a place called heaven. I believe there's a place called hell. I still believe in marriage between one man and one woman. I still believe, and I'm not changing my posture on the Word of God. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house now. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to change their posture. They stood when everybody else was bowing. And it became obvious. It's not hard to see who's resisting when everybody else is giving up. Y'all not helping me this morning. Y'all sitting there egging me on. Now, my wife told me before we left the hotel, please try to behave yourself, darling. No, I've been praying lately that something obvious would happen about the church today. There's been such a blending in anymore that you can't tell the world from the church and the church from the world. And yet we understand that the Word of God tells us to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. God is calling us to a life of sanctification and a life of separation. God is calling us to be obvious again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were obvious in their stance for the Lord. They said, we're not going to bow. Nebuchadnezzar brought them out of that public setting into a private arena. And he said, is it true that what I'm hearing, you will not bow, you will not give in to the commandments and the laws that I've established? I'm going to give you a second chance. You will bow or you will burn. When you hear the music, do and hear what you should have done out there. And I love the immediacy of their response. No hesitation. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to call for a meeting. They had unanimous consensus among them already. And they said, King, we are not careful. In other words, we're not slow to give you an answer. In other words, we don't need 3 weeks to pray and fast about this one. Can I tell you, there's some things you don't have to pray about. I mean, you can pray till the cows come home and you can fast till you lose 50 pounds, but the T's have already been crossed, the I's have already been dotted, and it's not going to change the Word of the living God. I remember years ago, I was pastoring my first church in Texas. I got up one Sunday morning and I preached on all 10 of the 10 commandments. I wore that crowd out that day. I mean, I went through all 10 of them with commentary in between. And after about an hour and a half, a guy walked up to me and he shook my hand. He said, that's some preaching you did today, Pastor. I'm going to pray about doing some of that. I said, well, thank you very much. Welcome to the wild world of sports. No, I want to tell you, heaven and earth may pass away, but God said, my word will never pass away. It is forever established in the heavens. They said, King, we're not slow to give you an answer. We weren't going to bow out there, and we're not going to bow in here. Listen, they said, we're going to tell you right here and right now, our answer is firm. We're not going to bow. And when the king heard that, the Bible said the form of his visage, his expression was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That means he was really mad. And he barked out this order. He said to the most mighty men in his kingdom, he said, heat the furnace 7 times more than it's ever been heated and throw them in there. Not once, not twice, but heat it 7 times hotter than it's ever been. And it prompts the question, how do we live when the heat's turned up? When what was hot gets hotter. When when what was bad gets worse. When what was already beyond human understanding goes off the chart of human comprehension, how do we live when the heat is turned up? Can I tell you, it was already hot. 2 years ago, the heat was turned up. And we went through the sorrows of this global pandemic, and I won't even go into that. You've lived through it. But the heat was turned up. And then this horrific thing of racism stuck up its ugly head in our nation as never before. And the heat was turned up. And then we went through possibly the wildest political scenario that we've seen, at least in modern history. And the heat was turned up. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. And I'm not even going to take time to go into what you went through as an individual or what you might have gone through as a family. But the heat was turned up. Every time we turned around, it got hotter and hotter, and one crisis after the next and one problem after the next. And the question arises, how does a child of God live when the heat is turned up? I'm going to do my best to answer that before we're finished today. But before I do, I want to talk to two people. I want to talk to Job just a minute. Job, can you tell us, how does a man live when the heat's turned up? Here's a man known as the greatest man in all the East. I mean, he had it all together, it seemed. But then the heat was turned up. And someone announces to him, Job, you've lost your income stream. Because the Sabaean marauders have come in and they have stolen your camels and destroyed the rest. And the heat was turned up and poverty struck this man. What do you do, Job? But the heat was turned up again when they announced to him, all of your sons and daughters have been killed. They've gone to the elder brother's house for a party and the storm has come and disintegrated the house and everybody has been killed. How do you live when the heat's turned up, Job? But then he discovers he's a sick man. And his body is full of disease, and from head to toe, he's filled with pain and suffering and sickness, and sores cover his body. And the only relief he can get is when he breaks a pot and he scrapes the top of those sores with broken pottery. How do you live, Job, when the heat's turned up? But Job's got some friends. Yes, he does. And they come from far and near to comfort him. Oh, God, help us, Jesus. I've been comforted by so many in the last 2 years. There's a few of them I wish they'd have saved themselves the expense of a plane ticket and stayed home. But Job's friends came in, and you know what? They sat for 7 days and stared at the man. If I understand that story, they stared at him in silence for a solid week. In silence, they're suspicious, and in silence, they're criticizing him, and in silence, they're interrogating this man. And finally, one of them speaks up and says, what'd you do to make God so mad at you? What big sin did you commit to make God do all of this in your life? And the heat was turned up, and his life just begins to pancake on top of him. And when he thinks it can't get any worse, it does. Because his wife, Sister Job, steps up. Now listen, let me just set the record straight right here. I didn't come to preach against Sister Job. I really didn't. Some of the best preachers I've ever heard have taken off on Sister Job. About how backslidden she was. Maybe she was, I don't know. But here's what I see. She lost those same kids. She lost that same money. She's lost the same house and possessions. And for the last week, she's sat nearby and she's watched these three guys berate her husband silently. And now one of them speaks up and takes him on verbally. She just can't take it anymore. She has a meltdown and she walks up to her husband and says, would you drop this integrity thing? You don't have to prove anything to them, me or God or anybody else. Just curse God and die. How do you live when the heat's turned up? Job's going to answer in a minute, but let's talk to David first. David, how do you live when the heat's turned up? 1 Samuel 30 tells us the story. David and his men came back from a battle to a place they were living at the time called Ziklag. And the Bible says Ziklag was burned with fire. The whole city was burned to the ground. And the heat was turned up. Every individual's home was burned to the ground. And then David discovers they've stolen all of our treasure. And the heat was turned up. And then David discovers they've taken all of our children. Our wives have been taken captive by the Amalekites. And God only knows what's going on with them right now. And the heat was turned up. And when David thought it couldn't get any worse, it did. It got worse because the men he served turned on him. Because they didn't think he was an effective leader in a time of crisis. Some pastor watching somewhere needs to look at me right now. You've heard those very words. Somebody somewhere in the last 2 years thought you were not an effective leader in this crisis time. Granted, you couldn't win. If you made one decision one day, it made half the church mad. If you made the decision the other way the other day, it made the other half. You couldn't win. David couldn't win. Nothing he did could satisfy the people that he was leading because they wanted vengeance. They wanted immediate revenge. And they spoke of stoning David and raising up new leadership. David, how do you live when the heat's turned up? Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what David did, and here's what David would answer. David said, I encouraged myself in the Lord my God. See, don't forget who David was. David was a singer and a songwriter. He wrote most of the book of Psalms, that Old Testament hymn book called the Book of Psalms. And I think what David might have done, I think he went to that old hymn book and he said, I feel like singing. I think I'll start with page 23. And he started singing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And my cup runneth over. Surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David said, I feel better now. Pardon me while I shout. And David said, I think I'll sing another one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who healeth all our diseases and forgiveth all our iniquity. And David said, oh, I feel better now. I think I'll sing another one. Though war should rise against me, my heart shall not fear. Though a host should encamp about me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after all the days of my life, that I may dwell in his tabernacles forever. Slap somebody on the shoulder and tell him he's preaching right at you today. When you can't find a praise team, you gotta sing by yourself. When you can't find a praise team, when you can't find a prayer partner, when you can't find anybody to hold your hand and see you through the midnight hour, you gotta stand flat-footed on God's word and encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Wait a minute, I'm not through talking to Job. Come back here, Job. We heard what David had to say, but tell us, how do you live when the heat's turned up? You've lost home. You've lost treasure. You've lost reputation. You've lost friends. Your wife is ready to throw in the towel. How do you live when the heat's turned up? Here's what Job would say. Job would say, here's the deal. I was naked when I got here. I'll be naked when I leave here. But while I am here, I'm going to bless the name of the Lord because he gave it to me and he can take it away. And the Bible said in all of this, Job sinned not, neither did he charge God foolishly, and his latter end was greater than his beginning. Job called his wife over to his side. He said, here's the thing, sweetie pie. You said we can curse God and die. I get that. I understand your feelings. I understand your emotions. But listen, if we can curse God and die, we can bless God and live. I came by to tell somebody in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, you can still bless the name of the Lord. Bless God and live. When the heat's turned up, keep your faith in Almighty God. I wish somebody would praise Him here. You don't want me to preach like I feel. I feel the Holy Ghost of God in this sanctuary here today. I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve Him come hell or high water. Look at somebody and tell them you can keep living when the heat's turned up. You can keep living when the heat's turned up. If I never get to preach again, I'm going to preach today. I tell you what, I feel pure Holy Ghost in this house. I don't know who I'm talking to in this building. I don't know who I'm talking to that may be watching, but I came by to tell somebody there's hope for tomorrow. I came by to tell you this is not the end of the story. I came by to tell you God still got a plan. All things still work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When you walk through the fire, the flame will not kindle upon you. And through the waters, the river shall not overflow you. Somebody praise Him in this house. How do you live when the heat's turned up? Let me walk you through it. I want to elaborate. Just give you some quick points here. Number one, when the heat's turned up, remain convinced and don't compromise. Hebrews 10:35 said, cast not away your confidence, for with it there is recompense of reward. You hear their confidence? We're not slow to answer you in this matter. Our God is able. Oh, I wished I had time to preach on God is able. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Jude said unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the throne. King, he's able. Now listen, don't mix up his ability with his sovereignty. We don't know how he's going to do this today. In it, around it, through it, we don't know. But we know when this day is over, we will be in his hands, come what may. Don't lose your confidence in these incredible times. But then there's this issue of compromise. Let's talk about compromise just a minute. Remain convinced and don't compromise. In and of itself, compromise is not too terrible of a word until it begins to encroach upon biblical principles and integrity. But the thing about compromise, just to get quickly to it, is this. When you already know the outcome, there's no point in it. Why compromise when you already know how it's going to end? They said, King, when this day is over, we will be in the hands of God. Folks, we've been through a lot these last 2 years, but I'm telling you, God's kept us in the palm of His hand. And He's got you there now. Oh, let me leave that and go to another point. How do you live when the heat's turned up? Here's the second thing. Remain positive in the problem. Now, I'm not just talking about mind over matter. I'm not just talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about baptizing yourself in the promises of God's word, which are yea and amen. I'm talking about let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Stay positive in the, I get it. These are days of negativity. These are days of pessimism. But God's word combats the negative and the pessimism. Now let me just tell you something else along with that. Paula and I have decided to help us with that. We're going to be careful of our intake of outside media and information. I'm not afraid of truth. I'm not afraid of facts. But what I don't need is somebody's imposed opinion trying to direct the affairs of my life. The other thing we've decided to do is to turn this baby off about half the time. Because there's always somebody. They don't know you and you don't know them. They just found your name and somehow they determined that you love Jesus. And they're on there trying to get you into a social media food fight. You know, I may be mad after all. I'm not sure how much anointing's on me right now. No, they just want to sling mud at you because they don't like some posture you have or some stance you took. As a matter of fact, somebody came running down my hallway the other day. They banged on my door. I said, come in. They came in waving their phone. They said, Bishop, did you see what so-and-so said about the Church of God and about you? I said, no, and I don't need you to tell me. They said, well, aren't you going to respond? I said, no, because I'm not giving my platform to a fool. I'm not going to give my platform to somebody that wants to tear down the church of the living God and the work of the Holy Ghost. Instead, I'm going to give myself to this and do what Paul said. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I got to hurry up. How do you live when the heat's turned up? Here's the next thing. Remain worshipful in the worst. Oh, I gotta hurry through this. Don't lose your capacity to praise. Don't lose your willingness to worship, even when the heat is turned up. I will admit to you, the word worship is not in that story. The word praise is not in that story. But I know they did. Somebody said, how do you know? How can you be so bold to say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked around in that fire praising God? Because I see the effects of worship here. I see the effects of praise. When Nebuchadnezzar perches himself upon some balcony somewhere and he looks down into that fiery pit, he says, wait a minute. Did we not cast three into that fire? That's right, King. Just three and three only. Would somebody please explain to me, how is it then that I see four men loose? I love that description. The look, they're loose. They're not bound. I want to tell you, the church is still loose today. The church is still free today. If the devil thought he'd shut us down and shut us up, he was dead wrong. The church is still mobile. The church is still finishing the Great Commission. We're not bound in our praise. We're not bound in our worship. We're not bound in proclaiming the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. The church is free today. Somebody explain to me how it is that I see four men loose. They have no hurt. Later he would say, they don't even smell like smoke. You don't smell like the smoke of your circumstances. Those billowing pillars of fire and smoke should have left on them the rancid smell and the pungency of their situation. But they passed the sniff test. They don't smell like what they've been walking around in. Neither do you. The only fragrance I'm picking up on today is the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. I just kind of got that feeling. I'm preaching too long. But I've got to tell you something. They didn't smell like the smoke and they didn't look like the fire. Can I tell somebody, you don't look like what you've been through? You've been through the fire, but you don't look like it. You've been through the pandemic, but you don't look like it. You've been through the struggles of life, but you don't look like it. My God, you've been through the torments and the sorrow, but you don't look like it. I'll tell you what you do look like. You look like Moses coming down from the mountain. When the glory of God shone on his face, they had to hide him with a veil and hide him with a covering. The Bible said we go from glory to glory. That's what the church of the living God looks like today. Somebody praise him. Somebody said, how did it happen? Because they worshiped in the worst. Don't forget who they were. Their names may have been Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but their heart was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They walked in saying, the Lord is gracious. Our God has helped. Who is like unto our God? And the Bible said he inhabits the praises of Israel. They were Hebrew children. My God, Brother Gabriel, they walked in with a praise in their heart and a song of their lips. And the trio became a quartet. And the fourth man looked to be like the Son of the living God. I came out to tell you, he's still in the fire. Worship in the worst. But I close with this. When the heat's turned up, remain at rest in your resolve. King, we're not slow to give you an answer. The God we serve is able to deliver us from the fire. He will deliver us from your hand. But if not, what in the world is that? Is that a disclaimer? Is that an excuse that if it gets too hot for God, we've built him a side door of escape? No, that phrase has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with the determination and the resolve of those three young men. We don't know how this turns out. We don't know what it's going to look like. We're just going to tell you right now, we are not going to bow. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me. On this I can depend. Resolve. And that's what I've seen throughout this nation. In every church I've been to for the last 2 years, that's what I see here today. When the pressure is on and the heat's turned up, God's people said, I'm not giving in. I'm not bowing down. But when the heat's turned up, my faith still holds in Jesus Christ, the power of his cross. Holy Spirit. If you're here today, or if you're watching, and the heat's been turned up in your life, and yet you still believe that God is in control and there is nothing beyond his ability to solve for you, could I just get you to raise up your hands and give him praise in this house? All week long, as I've been traveling and in meetings and different kinds of events, I have sensed something special about what God was going to do here today. If you're here today and you believe for the miraculous in your life and in your family, do you mind to just one more time reach up as if you were taking hold of the hands of the Lord? Holy Spirit, move in our midst. Move in our midst now. Around this world and every nation of the world that someone is watching, I pray that in their very living room or wherever they may be, the presence of God will just overwhelm them greatly and powerfully. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Your hands and sing, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. If you're comfortable to do it, would you make a point of contact with somebody? Just touch somebody on their arm, their shoulder, right there where you're watching. Just reach up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for divine healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray that you set people free now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, set us free from the flames of our circumstances and our difficulties and our trials. In the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Somebody receive right now. Receive right now. Receive right now. Sing it one more time. Oh.